So I was tempted to go down a second rabbit hole today, having already found myself obsessing over the morning reading from the Gospel of St. John. I started doing the same with this evening's reading, again from John's Gospel, chapter 11, the latter part of the story of the raising of Lazarus. And it's easy to do this with any part of John's Gospel because it's layered with meaning upon meaning. As I've said before, all of the Gospels, indeed much of our scripture, is carefully constructed, edited, redacted. But John's Gospel seems to me to be the apex of this. There are within John's Gospel allusions to Greek and Jewish tradition and writing. There are unique stories which seek not necessarily to be historical, but meaningful. There are sayings and events that are not found in any other scriptural text, any other of our scriptural texts, such as the I am, the resurrection and the life, which was in this evening's reading, and which is part of the I am sayings, which can only be found in John's Gospel. John seems to be less concerned with historicity than the mythic retelling of the Jesus story, and yet at the same time seems to want to feel completely grounded, such as giving a geographical location for today's story, the village of Bethany, just 2 miles apparently from Jerusalem, and explaining that there were many people from Jerusalem visiting these bereaved sisters Mary and Martha, thereby creating very carefully a link to the betrayal and death in Jerusalem that will happen in just a short while, that we'll soon hear of if we were to follow the gospel story through. And then we have the very careful detail that Lazarus had lain in the grave for 4 days, a day longer than it was thought in popular belief that the spirit of the deceased would be hanging around the body, and therefore making sure that the readers or hearers of this story knew, as the Munchkins once sang, that he's not really merely dead, but really quite sincerely dead. You're just lucky I didn't try and sing it in a Munchkin voice. All of this carefully put together storytelling is seeking to let the reader know that Jesus is Lord of life and death, and hopefully lead us to the point that, as the authors state towards the end of this gospel, that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. There was even more I could have unpacked from that. I did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with regards to this reading and doing some research. But I feel like I preached on this passage just recently. And apart from that reminder of the careful construction of this story, indeed of all of the Gospels, there's something else I want to explore for just a couple minutes. It's something that is in this John passage, but it's also in the psalm and also in the reading that we had from Isaiah. It's about how easily we slip into an understanding of an interventionist God, a God who somehow controls and manipulates the world around us for our benefit, or, it seems, to teach us a lesson. That's certainly the testimony of Hezekiah, king of Judah, following his recovery from a near-fatal sickness. And you may have noticed there was a little bit of discrepancy between what's printed in the bulletin and what Karen read. That's because Karen read a contemporary translation, which is what we normally have, and there was a bit of a slip-up, and we had the old authorized version, which isn't a great translation. And so to try and bring some clarity, especially to this, we had a modern translation. So Isaiah claims in this passage that he is sharing, or they are sharing, the praise of the king who has thought that he was set for the grave and is reminded of his weakness and mortality, and then he gets better and attributes that recovery to God. Likewise, the psalmist is letting God know how amazing God is, and as if God didn't know, in the hope that God will help them out of their difficulties. It sounds like, I'm not sure it is, but it sounds like a kind of, I'll keep worshipping you and singing your praises, and in return, could I have a bit better luck, please? Thank you. And if we were to take these stories literally, along with the story of Lazarus, We perhaps might think that God spends all their time trying to think of ingenious ways to test our faith, and is busy making sure we're sick or better or dead, depending on our relationship with God. As you probably guess, I'm not a fan of such simplistic, literalistic interpretations. And I don't believe our scriptures are written in that way, at least not most of the time. And I certainly believe we're not meant to read them that way. There are times, such as Hezekiah's long statement that basically says, "Thank God I didn't die," where there could indeed be an expectation on the part of the writer that God did order the course of the king's sickness in order to keep Hezekiah humble. Or it could, and this is more likely, be an explanation by Isaiah as to why Hezekiah was a good king. For Hezekiah's reputation was as a righteous man and a godly king. He was the author of many deeply popular religious reforms in Israel in his day, unlike his father Ahaz and Ahaz's wife, not Hezekiah's mother, but Ahaz's famous or infamous wife, Jezebel. What we do have here is a poetic expression of gratitude for surviving death. And while we may believe that healing is possible through prayer, there is no hint of any miraculous healing in this passage, just that the king got better. Likewise, we have in the Psalms an equally poetic expression of need and of hope. Indeed, an expression of faith in God, not really a bargain with the divine. It's an expression of trust in God, even when things are desperate. If we approach the scriptures in a way that simply seeks to reinforce an expectation that God is somehow in control, or to seek to explain away the difficulties of life as a test or a lesson, then we're not going to see the depth, the poetry, indeed the inspiration and the challenge that the scriptures pose as we seek to navigate the good and bad times of our lives and even of death. So instead, let's use our scriptures to inform our faith, to give us the tools to wrestle with, bringing meaning to our lives in our best and worst moments. Thanks be to God.